Daryl and that put this together and worked hard for the last 12 months. Kim Helgerson, our grant program lead, John Carr, Neil Kinnar, Ron Franz, and Chris Tarpey, Ryan Verhoop, and Amber Mankey. We wouldn't be here today in this setup without Steve Zigweid, who just worked the last 7 days straight to make this happen. So thank you to that team. Vernon Electric, led by Craig Burrows and Vernon's board of directors. Jim Matheson and the staff of NRECA for their industry leadership and support. Of course, President Biden for his leadership and vision to invest in rural America, and Secretary Tom Vilsack for championing rural communities and the next generation of ag leaders. Andy Burke, the administrator of the Rural Utility Service, under his leadership, the RUS has accomplished something truly remarkable, delivering New Era in less than a year and accomplishing their founding mission to support rural families and farmers. Please join me in recognizing this group of wonderful people. The New Era investment launches the next chapter in Dairyland's 80-year history. It's a transformative opportunity for Dairyland and our 24 member co-ops and the 27 cities, towns, and villages we serve. It's a win-win-win. It's a win for our members, the environment, and the farm economy. This investment will allow us to, let's have an applause, the farm economy. This investment will allow us to accelerate our energy transition. Yesterday we were at a crawl, today we're at a run. The impact of this grant will be stunning, reducing our carbon footprint by 70%, or over 3 million metric tons, equivalent to 700,000 cars on the highway. This is good news for everyone, lower emissions and lower costs. Thanks again for joining us today for what's truly a transformative day for Dairyland Power and the rural communities that we serve. Thank you so much.
Please welcome Sherry Stewart, representative of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Thank you. President Biden, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Vilsack, Governor Evers, distinguished guests. My name is Sherry Stewart, and I am here on behalf of the 113,000 active members of the IBEW in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois, and Indiana. I am a proud 23-year member of IBEW Local 31 in Duluth, Minnesota, where I am a trained journey-level relay and substation technician. The IBEW's membership, thank you. The IBEW's membership spans the utility, construction, telecommunications, broadcasting, manufacturing, railroad, and government sectors. We are honored to be on the leading edge of the transformational growth set into motion by the infrastructure, energy, and microchip laws championed by the Biden-Harris administration. Because of these laws, across the country, we are building billions worth of electricity transmission projects and the new electric vehicle and battery storage plants. And we are methodically constructing the electric vehicle charging system. We are organizing and training more members than ever, extending the benefits of good family-sustaining jobs to more and more people, here and in communities coast to coast. We are broadening and deepening the middle class, just as intended by the Biden-Harris administration. In just the last year, across the IBEW, we have brought in 17,500 new members. We haven't added so many members to the union in decades. Solar has been a huge growth area for this region, with hundreds of members building the industrial solar projects that are powering the grid with renewable energy. And in Mondovi, where Local 953 business manager Brady Weiss also happens to be the mayor, IBEW members are building the electrical vehicle charging infrastructure to support 5 electric school buses, thanks to a grant from the infrastructure law. Thank you. The IBEW is also proud to represent the skilled utility workforce here at Vernon Electric Co-op, who will be powering the energy transition being announced here today by President Biden. Today, Wisconsin is booming thanks to these targeted investments that pay good wages, support the growth of renewable energy, and allow us to continue to recruit and hire workers from underrepresented communities. Again, I am honored to be here to represent the professionals whose skills are so forward-oriented. I look forward to working with all of you to uplift our communities as we work to construct a cleaner future. Thank you.
Please welcome the Governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you so much. What a beautiful day in Western Wisconsin. And how's it going, Westby? Good? So, first of all, we absolutely have to thank our host here at Vernon Electric Cooperative for having us and all the tremendous partners and community leaders that are here with us today. It's great to be here today to welcome President Biden and USDA Secretary Vilsack back for another visit to the great state of Wisconsin. You know, thanks to President Biden and the Biden-Harris administration, we're working to build a 21st century infrastructure and workforce that Wisconsin needs to compete in a 21st century economy. And that includes Wisconsin's rural communities. Make no mistake, this work is happening in communities of all shapes and sizes and in industries across America, thanks to President Biden and Vice President Harris, and it's happening all around us right here in Wisconsin. President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law has helped support our work to fix the darn roads, including over 7,400 miles of roads and 1,780 bridges across the state. And I notice there's some stuff going on right here in Westby. You gotta fix them, folks. You gotta fix them. So get this, with the help of the Biden-Harris administration, under my administration, more than 410,000 homes and businesses across Wisconsin will have new or improved high-speed internet. President Biden, that was a lot of work, but we couldn't have done it without President Biden. President Biden and Vice President Harris are also helping us get harmful contaminants like PFAS and lead the heck out of our water. And I know that hits home right here in the Driftless area, right down the road. Folks in Campbell and French Island have been relying on jugs and bottles of water for years due to water contaminants. But let me be clear here. President Biden and Vice President Harris aren't just solving problems of the past. They're actually helping us build a brighter future while they're at it. Because President Biden and Vice President Harris believe, as I do, and I'm sure that you agree with this, that we don't have to choose between mitigating climate change and protecting our environment or creating good-paying jobs and building a strong economy. You know what? We can and we have to do both. Look at all the projects happening across our communities, or the good work and the good work by partners like Vernon Electric and Dairyland Power Co-op to see firsthand that these goals are not mutually exclusive. Through the Inflation Reduction Act and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, President Biden and Vice President Harris are helping jumpstart Wisconsin's transition to a robust, a clean energy economy that will lower energy bills, create good-paying, family-supporting jobs, and promote energy independence, including in our rural area. Folks, it's all great news for our state, and it's because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they get Wisconsin. I'm so grateful for the President and Biden-Harris administration's investment in Wisconsin, and I'm so excited for the future that we're working hard to do together. Can I get a heck yes for that? Folks, there you go, Westby. Thanks so much. Take care of your roads. See you soon. Thank you.
Please welcome United States Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack.
Thank you very, very much. It's great to be here. Certainly want to thank Vernon Electric Cooperative and the Dairyland Power Cooperative for the opportunity to be here with you all today. You know, 5 years ago at the World Dairy Expo here in Wisconsin, then Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue spoke a harsh truth to all of us about those who care about small and mid-sized farming operations and the important role they play in rural America. In response to a question about the loss of small dairy operations, the Secretary lamented that in the United States, you have to get big or you have to get out. This was a challenge to all of us to find a better way. And I'm pleased to say that the Biden-Harris administration, with the President's leadership, accepted that challenge. With the passage of the American Rescue Plan, the bipartisan infrastructure law, the President's Inflation Reduction Act, and other available USDA resources, we are developing new fields of expanded opportunity for small and mid-sized family farming operations, opportunities that will complement and not compete with the important work of large-scale commercial-sized agriculture. Our approach is simple. When you consider that 90% of American farm families are relying on the jobs and off-farm income from those jobs to help stay on the farm, it raises a fundamental question. And that question is, why can't we have a system in which it's the farm that works harder rather than the farm family? In real terms, that's what we're now doing here in Wisconsin and across the United States. Here's what it looks like. You only need to look at what is happening here, Governor Evers, in your home state of Wisconsin. The USDA and DeLong Company, for example, are partnering to pay farmers here in Wisconsin and six other states to offset the cost of growing crops using climate-smart and sustainable practices. In addition to lowering the cost of growing those crops, these farmers will also receive a premium for the grain and the fruit that is being produced from these climate-smart practices. In fact, some of that grain and fruit is finding its way to the Central Standard Distillery in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to make a variety of climate-smart spirits. I'm told, Governor, that, and I understand, that the cherry vodka is quite a hit. Now, this is just one of 27 projects here operating in the state of Wisconsin, covering 46 commodities where farmers will be paid to embrace climate-smart practices and receive a higher return for their work. USDA, as part of the President's competitive agenda, has invested in more processing capacity here in Wisconsin as well. This is providing a better price and a better market for livestock producers here, more choice and lower costs for consumers here in Wisconsin. USDA provided funding, for example, for the Crescent Meats facility in Chippewa County. That expansion project created new markets and better markets for producers of cattle, hog, lamb, and other species. They're now making a variety of specialty products. This is just one example here in Wisconsin of 17 investments we've made to expand processing capacity and more market opportunity. Now, we're here today to celebrate an historic investment in the New Era program. Now, I'd like to be able to make that announcement, but I think the boss would be upset if I did. So I'm not going to make the announcement, but I am going to say that this is another new field of expanded opportunity. Recently, I was outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin, at the Dairy Dreams dairy operation. That dairy is converting the manure from their operation into a variety of organic fertilizers that they now use on their fields to reduce the cost of raising the feed for their cattle. This saves a significant amount of cost on the cost of fertilizer. In addition, this dairy operation is also selling the methane from that manure to a renewable gas company, which is developing a new stream of income for that dairy operation. Finally, we're working to make sure that American agriculture leads the way in the development and investing in new bio-based products, like sustainable aviation fuel made from agricultural products. Now, this opportunity is going to more than double the amount of biofuel production in the U.S. Now, that means higher income for farmers, particularly in the Midwest, and better paying rural jobs for those in Wisconsin. The investments and the historic investment the President will announce today are creating new and expanded opportunities for small and mid-sized family farming operations. Now, this is good news. This is good news for Wisconsin, it's good news for rural America, and it's good for all of America. Because when farmers do well, rural America does well, and when rural America does well, all of America does well. For that reason, may God bless those who farm and ranch and provide us with the food that we need, the fuel and the energy for our economy. God bless you all. Thank you.
Please welcome Darren Von Ruden, President of the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
Good afternoon. I'm Darren Von Ruden, a third-generation organic dairy farmer right here in Westby, Wisconsin. I also have spent the past decade serving as the president of Wisconsin Farmers Union, a statewide organization representing family farmers. My wife and I have two kids and four grandkids. We've lived on our dairy farm for my entire life, and my dream has always been to pass it on to my son and our grandchildren. But before President Biden came to office, I was losing hope that that would happen. Things were becoming more expensive, and the farm situation was not what we desired. We actually were thinking that maybe at some point you might have to sell it. But then when I met President Biden 4 years ago during a town hall style campaign, he listened as I shared the issues that impacted our community. It was clear we mattered to him. He shared with me his comments to invest in all of rural America. 4 years later, he's keeping that commitment. When he came to office, I and many other farmers were dealing with the wait times of a year or more at the local meat processors, which hit our bottom lines and limited our ability to get independent or get local meat to our communities. But then he strengthened independent meat and poultry processing capacity and made a real difference for family farmers like mine. And that's just one win. I put on many miles as Farmers Union president, and I see the Biden-Harris administration's handiwork in the infrastructure improvements from our bridges and roads to renewable energy. As I prepare to transition my family farm to my son Brett and his family, the fourth and fifth generation on the farm, I know that these efforts will smooth the way for those that follow. We have a solar array on our farm, which is helping to trim our electrical costs right now in half, we are able to pay for that system in 8 years and 8 months. We hope that the actions that are happening today and the program will help to continue to diversify and improve our energy supply. There are naysayers out there saying that solar and wind are too cost prohibitive for a regular Joe, but that's not true. President Biden's historic laws have led to critical renewable energy projects right here in Vernon County. It's been an exciting past 4 years for farm country. President Biden has sparked some real positive change across the rolling hills of Westby and Vernon County. My business is now prospering more than it ever was, and I can finally have peace of mind knowing that I'll be able to pass my farm on to my son and my grandchildren. With this, it's now a true honor to introduce someone who feels like a regular Joe to us and who has made this all possible for my family and for so many others across rural America. President Joe Biden.
Hello, Wisconsin. First time I was here was about 180 years ago with William Proxmire when I was a 31-year-old senator. I'm only 40 now, but, you know, please have a seat if you have one. It's great to be back. Before I begin, with your permission, I'd like to say a few words about the school shooting yesterday in Winder County, Georgia. You know, my wife Jill and I are mourning those four gunned down two students and two teachers, and wounded and hospitalized nine others. I'm sure you are as well. You know, students, just young teenagers, educators, just doing their jobs. A community like so many around the country, just getting back to school. And a joyous and exciting time, absolutely shattered, shattered. I directed my team to immediately ensure that we're doing everything we can to provide support. The Department of Justice and the FBI are working closely with the state and local law enforcement investigating this. We have a lot of information, not all of it. We're grateful the school personnel and first responders who proved and prevented more people from being killed or injured and brought the suspect to custody. But as a nation, we cannot continue to accept the carnage of gun violence. I'm a gun owner. I believe strongly in the amendment. We need more thought, more than thoughts and prayers. Some of my Republican friends in Congress just finally have to say enough is enough. We have to do something. Together, let's ban assault weapons. My dad is a hunter. I don't know a whole hell of a lot of deer wearing Kevlar vests. I'm serious about this. High-capacity magazines, once again, what do we need them for in terms of domestic use? There are too many people who are able to access guns that shouldn't be able to. So let's require safe storage of firearms. I know I have mine locked up, but how could you have an assault rifle, a weapon in a house, not locked up, and knowing your kid knows where it is? You've got to hold parents accountable if they let their child have access to these guns. Let's enact universal background checks, and then immunity for gun manufacturers. And I realize I'm in a rural area like the rural parts of my state where guns, we all have them. And it's not popular to talk about it, but the truth is, there's a difference between rational and irrational. Imagine, you know, the only outfit in the world that we can't sue, and by law, passed by law, are gun manufacturers. How about if that were the case of big tobacco? What do you think would happen? If we're not able to have sued tobacco, how many more people would be dead now, but for the ability to change the law? Folks, common sense measures supported by responsible gun owners. You know, it won't bring back those children, but thousands of children have been gunned down across. You know, more children are killed or die from a gunshot wound than any other reason in the entire United States. Every disease, every accident, everything. More die as a consequence of a bullet in the United States of America. But they'll help save lives if we do the things we're talking about and prevent
communities from being ripped apart again. We can do if we do it together, and I really think we can. So I just wanted to say that before we began. And now to our event today. Thank you, Darren, for that introduction and for sharing your story as a family farmer. And thank you to one of America's best, I say one of the three best governors in the entire United States of America. Where is he? There he is. Tony, you're the best, pal. When I think of Tony Evers, I mean this sincerely. One word comes to mind, integrity. Integrity. And sitting next to him is a former governor, not far from here, from Iowa, named Tom Vilsack, who's a, and his wife, Christy, you're the, yeah, there you are. She's smarter than he is, just like Jill smarter than I am. But Tom's doing a hell of a job as Secretary of Agriculture. And thanks to all the local elected labor and community leaders that are here. And a special thanks to Brent Ridge, CEO of Dairyland Power Cooperative, for hosting us today. You know, I come from the state of Delaware. Everybody thinks it's an eastern industrial state. Our largest industry in Delaware, and I served as senator there for 36 years. I know I don't look that old, but I am. For 36 years, is agriculture. It's a $4 billion enterprise in the Delmarva Peninsula. And its co-ops made it happen. But millions of Americans rely on co-ops like yours for electricity every single day, and it matters. In June of 2021, 5 months after I came to office, I went to nearby La Crosse, Wisconsin. It was the 65th anniversary of President Eisenhower signing the bill that created the interstate highway system. I talked about my vision to do something just as historic, to invest in infrastructure and clean energy and so much more in rural America, to invest in all America and all Americans, to propel us into the future, creating millions, and I mean millions of good-paying jobs, and positioning America to win the economic competition of the 21st century. And I'm backed again today to begin a series of trips and events showing that progress we've made together by our Investing in America agenda, an agenda that has come to fruition over the last decade. Invest in America. Invest in American workers. Here in Westby, you know, I'm proud to announce that my investments, that through my investments, the most significant climate change law ever, and by the way, it is a $369 billion bill. It's called the, we should have named it what it was, but at any rate, the Department of Agriculture is able, from that legislation, to announce $7.3 billion in grants to 16 electrical co-ops nationwide to help rural communities transition to clean, affordable, reliable energy. It's the most significant transformative investment in electricity and electrification and clean energy for rural America since FDR's New Deal nearly 90 years ago. And that's not hype, that's a fact. And it includes Dairyland Power Cooperative, that will receive $580 million to develop and purchase solar power, wind power, energy storage right here in Wisconsin and all across the Midwest. And here's why it's a game changer. Before the New Deal, private companies refused to provide affordable electricity to rural communities. As a result, 1 in 10 rural households, only 1 in 10, had electricity before FDR came to power. So farmers had to organize electric co-ops to distribute electricity to their families and their communities. With help from the New Deal, there are now more than 800 rural electric co-ops to provide electricity for 40 million Americans in 48 states. But key challenges, they've overcome them, but they're still, the co-ops are still nonprofits. They don't have the same resources that private utility companies have to modernize their energy infrastructure. And for decades, they couldn't access tax credits and make clean energy more affordable. That's why Kamala and I ensured that for the first time in American history, that these nonprofit co-ops can benefit from clean energy tax credits, just like for-profit utilities have for decades. We also created new tools for co-ops to refinance prior debts so those they can go out there and not be held back from investing in their future. Today's historic announcement of $7.3 billion for rural electric co-ops builds on those steps. It means clean, affordable electricity for over 5 million rural households and businesses across 23 states. It means 20,000 jobs, good-paying, high-quality jobs, including union jobs, so rural America is empowered to lead our clean energy future. It means covering the upfront cost of clean energy so rural families can save on their energy bills and get just a little more breathing room at the end of the month. And it means rural entrepreneurs and manufacturers, who are so fundamental to our economy, are powered with reliable, affordable energy, and they can create more job opportunities in their communities. And guess what? It's also good for the environment as well. Because of our historic actions, we're going to reduce by 43 million tons greenhouse gas pollution every single year as a consequence of these investments. That is the equivalent of removing pollution from more than 10 million gas-powered vehicles. 10 million. It's going to save $265 billion in healthcare costs because of better, cleaner quality of air. People aren't breathing polluted air and getting sick. That comes from the NIH. It matters, folks. You know it. And, folks, I've kept my commitment to be president for all America and all Americans, including rural America. Your communities are the backbone, and that's not hyper, you're the backbone of this country. You deserve the same resources as folks in our cities and our suburbs. And that's what today's announcement is all about. Generating rural power for rural America. But that's not all. Last year, I was next door with your good neighbor, Governor Waltz of Minnesota. I think the guy's gone places. Anyway. I talked about we're making the most fundamental and significant investment ever in rural America, creating new and better markets, new income streams that are generators of rural America that can grow and thrive. For example, we're taking on big corporations and doing everything from increasing competition in the meat markets to boosting domestic fertilizer production. In fact, here in Wisconsin, that means $12 million to lower fertilizer costs for farmers across the state, which also creates jobs and grows new businesses. Here in Wisconsin, we also invested $47 million to lower energy costs, install renewable and energy-efficient technologies like solar panels behind me on farms and rural small businesses. Darren just shared how that's cut his family electricity bill in half. We're helping farmers and ranchers and entrepreneurs tackle the climate crisis, climate-smart agriculture such as cover crops, nutrient management, storing carbon in the soil. These practices reduce the greenhouse gas emissions and improve our overall health of the soil and the water. They put us on a path to continuing to grow the food, the fuel, the fiber that will power our nation for decades to come. Through our bipartisan infrastructure law, it's a fancy way of saying that $366 billion for the environment, most significant investment in America's infrastructure. And what the infrastructure bill, by the way, the bipartisan bill, that was $1,200,000,000,000. And guess what? We're still lowering the deficit. Anyway, the most significant investment in America since Eisenhower's interstate highway system. We've invested $4 billion so far in 350 projects to modernize Wisconsin transportation. Just in Wisconsin, that's been invested. Infrastructure, going to be three roundabouts on Route 14. U.S. 14, and the new bridge and County Highway M. Folks, look, just like we're making the most significant investment in rural electrification, FDR, We're also making the most significant investment ever in affordable high-speed internet. Because affordable high-speed internet is just as essential today as electricity was a century ago. In order to be able to do business, and when things are shut down, your kid doesn't have to sit outside of McDonald's and anyway. That's why we've invested $1.6 billion just in Wisconsin to connect everyone to affordable high-speed internet in Wisconsin. And since I took office, 72,000 more Wisconsin homes and small businesses have access to high-speed internet for the first time ever. We're going to keep it going. We've also invested $200 million to replace lead pipes across the state so a kid can drink clean water without worrying about brain damage and changing their schools as well. We've launched the Rural Partners Network, putting new federal staff on the ground to help communities access federal resources. Let them know what they are, where to go, how to get it, because it's complicated. So I want people on site being able to tell people how they qualify, how they apply, how they get it done. And after years of importing 90% of our semiconductor chips, which I might add, America invented, we invented the computer chip. It's needed for everything from automobile engines to weapons. We passed the CHIPS and Science Act, has led private companies from around the world to come back. We used to have 40% of the market not too many years ago. And now we've got down to basically zero. From countries around, I travel from everywhere, from North Korea, South Korea, to across the world to get these computer chip factories to come. I asked when we convinced one of the companies in South Korea to invest building these chips in America. I said, why would you do it? And they're investing several billion dollars. He said, because you have the most advanced workers in the world, and it's the safest place in the world to invest. Well, our CHIPS and Science Act has led private companies from around the world to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in new chips and battery factories, and more of them right here in America. With the leadership of your governor, you've already added 200,000 new jobs and attracted over $5 billion in Wisconsin in private sector investment in clean energy and advanced manufacturing. In fact, this spring, I was with your governor, Racine, where Microsoft announced a $3 billion investment, $3 billion investment to build a data center to help operate one of the most powerful artificial intelligence systems in the entire world. It's going to create thousands of good-paying jobs on site and across the state, creating even more opportunities in rural communities. Let's remember, my predecessor promised you that he would redevelop Foxconn factory in Racine. You been there lately? He didn't do a damn thing. Nothing. Folks, all these investments means family farms can stay in the family. Rural entrepreneurs can build their dreams. Your children and grandchildren won't have to leave home to make a living. I don't know how many of you have been confronted growing up, where everything's going well and the son or daughter comes to mom or dad and said, I can't stay. There's not work for me here. I got to leave. That's stopping now. Because we're spreading opportunities to benefit everyone. Building the future where no one is left behind. Growing an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down. Because when you do that, everybody does well. Everybody does well. My dad used to have an expression, Joey, a job's about all. My dad was a hardworking guy. Didn't go to college, well-read guy because of World War II. Anyway, he worked like hell. He always come home to dinner before he'd go back and close the shop. And my dad used to say, Joey, a job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. It's about being treated with respect. And it's about knowing you can look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay. You're not going to have to leave home to get a job. That's in stark contrast to my predecessor. When he was in office, he enacted a $2 trillion tax cut. $2 trillion tax cut. that overwhelmingly benefited the very wealthy, the biggest corporations, and drove up federal deficit every single year of his presidency. He left office with the largest annual deficit in American history, $3 trillion. And by the way, I made a commitment when I got elected, and my vice president made a similar commitment. No one making under $400,000 will see a single penny in their taxes raised, not a single penny. Neighborhood I come from in Claymont, Delaware, and Scranton, Pennsylvania, they say, well, that's too damn much. But the point is to make sure that we know this isn't an attack on the wealthy. He left us with a pandemic raging and economy reeling. His allies in Congress, with all due respect, I've had this conversation with your Senator Ron Johnson, voted against every one of the things I talked about today. Every single thing I talked about in terms of rural economy, he voted against it. Voted against it. It's hard to imagine your Senator voting against interest in a rural state was so large and so consequential as the state of Wisconsin. Meanwhile, your other Senator, Tammy Baldwin, has done everything to take care of the state so she can be devoted to it. Vice President Kamala Harris fought like hell for all of you and for the future worthy of your aspirations. Look, just think about how far we've come. We have more to go. We have more to go. Too many people are still in trouble. But nearly 4 years that we've been president and vice president, we've had one of the most extraordinary periods of progress in American history. COVID no longer controls our lives. We've gone from an economic crisis to the strongest economy in the world. Let me say it again. We have the strongest economy in the world, and no one challenged it. We got more to do. We're seeing something else. In thousands of cities and towns across the country and across Wisconsin, we're seeing the great American comeback story. The way I see it, and I talked to the other team, talks about how bad off we are and how America's in trouble. The way I see it, today's announcement is about far more than just giving rural America the power to turn on the lights. It's about giving the power to shape our own future. In fact, Wisconsin has a strong, strong history of neighbor helping neighbor and forming cooperatives, which are literally owned and powered by the people of Wisconsin. Because of you, we're planting seeds today that grow and blossom for generations to come. That's what we're seeing here in Wisconsin, a state with a proud tradition of rural communities leading our nation forward. And again, that's not an exaggeration. You've been a leader in the nation. Let me close with this. As I travel this state and the country, I hope you feel what I feel, pride. Pride in our hometowns. Pride in making a comeback. Pride in America. Pride in knowing we can get big things done when we work together. Folks, I've never been more optimistic about our nation's future. Just have to remember who the hell we are. We're the United States of America. That's who we are. Not a joke. We're the only nation in the world that's come through every crisis stronger than we went into that crisis. Because we're a hard-working, optimistic people, decent people. We know from experience that there's nothing, nothing beyond our capacity when we work together. And again, that's not an exaggeration. We work together. I remember the days when I first got started, when a lot of Republican senators, my close friends, we worked together, we compromised. We didn't talk about things as if it was a dire moment, that democracy was at stake. We actually worked together. We fought like hell, but we worked together. We got to return that for our children, because our democracy depends on it. I'm keeping you too long in the sun, so let me just say, God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you. Got a beautiful state.
Where the hearts that run over with mercy, where's the love that is not forced? forsaken me? Where's the work that'll set my hands, my soul free? Where's the spirit that'll rain, rain over me? Where's the promise from sea to shining sea? Where's the promise from sea to shining sea? Wherever this flag is flown, wherever this flag is flown, wherever this flag is flown, we take care of that home. We take care of that home. Wherever this flag's flown, we take care of that home. We take care of that home. We take care of that home. Wherever this flag's flown.
I can't begin to know it, but then I know.